Bucks win 29-27 to drop the Jets to 0-3, and that footage of Aaron Glenn sprinting down the sideline and dancing after the McDonald touchdown didn't exactly age well, especially in the eyes of one Mike Francesa.
I don't need Aaron Glenn. I'm going to tell Aaron Glenn something right here, okay? And I haven't been hard on Aaron Glenn. I've said nothing negative about him this year, and I'm willing to give him time, but I don't need a cheerleader on the sideline. I don't need one of these coaches who runs up and down with his team like he's still playing. You're not playing anymore. Use your brain. You're there to coach. You're not playing. So I don't need you jumping around and running up and down the sideline when your team finally makes a play. That is a coach who doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
And when he said, use your brain, he pointing to the head.
You know what? I look over the sideline. I don't need you to teach me how to Dougie. Okay? I don't need that. I don't need you doing the gritty up and down the sideline. You're a coach.
So when Rob Saleh was here, people were, you know, annoyed that he wasn't being the defensive coordinator, energetic head coach.
Right. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got an energetic head coach, and you're not happy.
They called him a cigar story deal. And now you got this. I think somewhere in between is probably where.
That's what we're looking for.
And wins
is what we're looking for.
You know what? It's really, you know, people just don't understand what goes into all of this. Everything that's on their plate, everything that they got to go through, all the decisions that they have to make, all the players that they're trying to convince. And then when something happens like this Will McDonald play was an amazing play.
Yeah.
So he has a. That's a genuine reaction. That's
I thought it was in the moment. Genuine. I thought it was great, honestly.
I don't have a problem with it. Damn, yeah. I don't have a problem with it. That's just that's who he is.
You know, they end up losing the game.
Right.
The defense stinks.
Yeah.
Everybody knew they were going to lose the game. And then he's clapping when the game's over.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have.
I would just say, again, they've had a chance to win two out of their first three games. They haven't gotten a losing out of it yet. They have to get that. They got to learn how to win. They got to learn how to close games. But if I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm frustrated we're losing, but I can't lose my team. I got to keep them going. I got to keep them believing. I mean, they're actually scoring points.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so that was strong words from Mike there. Then in the postgame presser for Glenn, you know, we already heard him pushing back on same old Jets, doesn't care for it, doesn't believe it. And then this isn't a knock on Glenn, but I guess he was asked, did he consider going for two? After the McDonald score to guard against the potential of the field goal on the other end beating you, right? Back to Mike, not happy about that strategy even being mentioned.
That's a loser's mentality. The idea is get the lead, get a stop. Get the lead, make a defensive play. That's the idea. You play for the lead in the final 3 minutes of a game and then try to get a stop. Get a sack. Get a turnover. Make a play. Knock a ball down. Of course the Jets didn't do that. Why? Because they're losers. That's why they didn't do it. And he doesn't like the same old Jets, except they are the same old Jets. They're 0-3 again.
Oh, here we go.
And if you read Todd Bowles' lips when he shook Aaron Glenn's hand, he said, ninth moves, Luther.
Oh, man.
Let's bring it full circle with Bowles, by the way. Yeah. Mr. No Personality. So we got the curse there already in the postgame presser. And then check out this answer to a question about an apparent embrace, I guess, he shared with Bucks tight end Payne Durham heading into the locker room after the game. I guess the Tampa reporters happened to see that either in person or on video.
What did Payne Durham say to you when he wrapped his arm around you?
Me and Payne have a relationship not many people know about, and we're secret lovers.
Look at that. Leave the Jets. You're 3-0. You win the division every year, and you're cracking jokes in the postgame press conference.
We're gay men. So that's why we did that. Diff kidding, pulling your chain, yanking your chain. No pun intended.
Oh, man. Bucks are 3-0. Jets are 0-3. And they'll be
secret lovers.
Secret lovers.
I'll tell you what, you got to love these coaches' press conferences.
Oh, man.
There is so much gold there.
Never know what you're going to get.
Daniel Jones leaves the Giants, turns into Peyton Manning.
Right.
Todd Bowles leaves the Jets, he turns into Richard Pryor. It's unbelievable.
Speaking of leaving the Jets, Rob Saleh goes back home to San Francisco. They're 3-0. Gutty win for them yesterday. No Brock Purdy. Nick Bosa goes out early with the knee injury, didn't return. And Mac Jones at one point looked like he couldn't even walk out there. Stays in the game. He puts on the knee brace, and they end up beating the Cardinals 16-13. Eddie Pinheiro, who this was his first home game for the Niners, game-winning field goal for San Francisco. Mac Jones did throw a pick in this game. He was asked about it afterwards and was offering no credit to the Arizona defender.
I threw it right to the guy, so it wasn't like he made a good play. I mean, good for him. He caught it. Like, awesome.
It's not just the coaches. You get some weird stuff from the players as well. And did you see him after they won that game? So Adrian Martinez, formerly of the Jets, is out there. I don't know if he and Mac go... They shared an embrace. You would have thought that they were secret lovers. Really? Like, I thought Mac was actually maybe crying at one point. Like, they... I don't know. So all these emotions were coming. They were going crazy on the sideline. Kyle Shanahan actually has got a field goal kicker who made a kick late in the game. So he's all pumped up and screaming and yelling. They had a video of that. They were coming off the field like they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were giving each other the Eddie Scazzeri hug.
Yes, yes, they were. That is very true. All right, I got one other thing for you. Jody McDonald, our long-lost friend, still on ISN. The upside down, down the hallway there.
Infinity Sports.
Yes. We almost lost him Saturday. I guess Leslie from Fort Lee doesn't call the fan anymore. He just calls up the network.
Okay.
So he checked in with Jody, and as he made his point, Jody was overcome with some phlegm. You'll hear in the background.
Leslie from Jersey's up on the Infinity Sports Network. Hello, Les.
Good back.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm excited for tomorrow. I can't wait to watch Carson Wentz. I think he's going to be great. I watched a lot of Carson Wentz videos, and I just feel like he's going to be Baker Mayfield reincarnated.
So you hear the chest congestion in the background.
Oh, my God. I feel bad for him.
Oh, my God. Now, listen, Jody's done a lot of years in the business. Having been around him, when he is off the air, hits the cough button, there are some interesting noises that you'll hear. Not always into a live open mic. That one happened to be. But good news is he did gather himself to offer Leslie a reply.
You know when Carson Wentz was last good? The Trump administration. And we're not talking about this one. We're talking about the last one. That's the last time Carson Wentz was good.
Though Leslie did have the last laugh because the Vikings, really through no help of Wentz, went out and just lambasted the Bengals yesterday. Yes, I can.
Leslie from Jersey's up on the Infinity Sports Network. Hello, Les.
Good to be back.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm excited for tomorrow. I can't wait to watch Carson Wentz. I think he's going to be great. I watched a lot of Carson Wentz videos, and I just feel like he's going to be Baker Mayfield reincarnated.
Oh, boy.
It sounded like someone was trying to start a Model T. What the hell was that?
I hate to share this on the air. He's okay, which is good. Years back, you might remember this.
When he drank all the energy drinks.
Mariano Rivera was hawking some energy drink. They put a case of him out in the newsroom, and he was down in them like cans of soda. And he got home from work that night. I think his wife took him to the ER because his chest was just pounding. He's an interesting cat. Great man. A lot of fun to be around. So, again, thankfully, he's all good.
Yep.
All good for the Vikings as they won that game.
Look, I thought the Jets were going to win that game yesterday. I picked them on Friday, and I really felt that. The Bucs were banged up. Can you kill that music there, Alex? You get the update music still going on. Thank you. The Bucs, I thought, were banged up. They were played in... it's bad enough that these teams can't win a game, BT. I can't take the bad football anymore. And that was on both sides. Really, the quality of play around the league has been trashed through the first few weeks of the season. Clean it up. Nobody wants to sit there and watch a flag fest out on the field. It is absurd. Anyway, the Jets, again, they didn't deserve to win that game. So while we could be excited about the fact that they shockingly, miraculously came back and had a lead for a half a second before they gave it away, they played putrid football all afternoon long.
Yes, they did. And I'm not going to allow the comeback, even though it fell short, to mask the fact that For the second time in three games, the Jets didn't look like they were ready to play football. I mean, here we are, first half, the Jets averaged 2.8 yards a play. There's six penalties. Now, Tampa had more, but several of which were procedural that just stagnated drives. They had a fumble. They had a pick six. That's just in the first half, guys. They were stopped on fourth and inches. They had more missed tackles, 19 missed tackles in the game, dude. And then to me, you know, there's a play. It's first quarter. It's third and 29. And there's a penalty on Sauce, whether or not it was a penalty or not. I mean, Sauce Gardner got absolutely abused because then he got smoked by Emeka Ogbuka for a 42-yard game.
He stinks, so, dude.
Sauce Gardner is doing absolutely nothing, absolutely zero. But to me, Sal, like, I understand there's a lot that you gotta kill from a ghost perspective to get this thing moving in the right direction. But one thing that's starting to worry me about Aaron Glenn, and I want to play this for you. It's not like over the top insane, but I've heard him now do this at every press conference, and he continues to reference what other people are saying, the media, the narratives. Listen to this, and then I want to follow up on it. Go ahead, guys.
We're not the same team as what everyone says, same old Jets. These guys are going to fight no matter what the situation is. There's no give up in them. I hate that term. And I really don't know what that term means, but I know this. They're not the same old Jets. All right, so these guys are fighters. I love these guys.
Now, I love the fact that he hates that term because every time that you drop it at me, I resist it. I'm like, no, I don't lean into the same old Jets. And I don't have an issue with him talking about his team the way they fought. I understand this is a Herculean task to get the Jets to the middle of the NFL and eventually, hopefully, beyond here. But Aaron Glenn, it's a small thing, and if he can just hear this, please, somebody get him this, because he's going to complicate his own job and his own life here. Stop talking about the narratives, and stop talking about all the other stuff that happened before you got here. Just talk about the games. I think it's a disservice, Sal. It's not a smart tactic, and he's doing it every time.
The problem is, if you were going to focus on the games, his record is what it is. It's 0-3. This was the first time. See, I thought the Jets were going to be a competitive football team, button things up, be more what we saw in week one, and be able to take advantage of a down Bucs team. Like, hey, it does happen in the NFL. You saw the Browns beat the Packers. Like, teams upset teams almost on a weekly basis. Yet in New York, it seems like an impossibility. I thought that would be one spot where the Jets would upset the Bucs. Glenn, that's the first time that he started to lose me with the way that he spoke in the postgame, with the way that he was happily clapping after the loss. Like, no.
Yeah, and that's not even the celebration on the touchdown. That's after the game. You're talking about when he was clapping.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. No, the fact that he was still clapping after the loss, like he was proud of his team for fighting back. No. Your team sucked all day long. By the way, it's not just Sauce Gardner who is maybe the most overrated player. And if I was saying this last year, I'm certainly going to say it now. He's the most overrated player in the league. He is a string bean out there who's not physical at all. Like, I don't know how the hell this guy's got voted All-Pro. What are these guys watching? I've seen great cornerbacks in my life. Even recent ones. You don't have to go back to Deion Sanders, whether it's Revis, whether it's Nnamdi Asomugha. Like, there are great cornerbacks, even some of the current guys, Sertan, whatever it may be.
Winfield's pretty good.
Dude, Sauce Gardner? What? When is he going to make a big play? When is he going to make a big play? He was getting chewed up and spit out yesterday. Matter of fact, so bad with the Jets with the stupid penalties that I'm thinking, Glenn, stop accepting the penalties. Just let them punt the football and try to kick the field goal.
That's what I was thinking,
Something's bound to happen. Yeah, it's third and forever, but one mistake is going to cost you, and that's exactly what happened. Also, Garrett Wilson. How does he not come back to that ball? He leaves it up to float, change the entire
Big
game.
Six.
Like, yeah, not that Tyrod Taylor's a great quarterback.
He played pretty well. I thought Tyrod was really stuck his nose in there. He made some plays. He did a good job.
He is as tough
as
they come. However, he's also conservative.
Yeah,
he's not going to be flinging the ball down the field. But when he does.
No, but he's open.
When he does, can Garrett come back to the ball and make a freaking play on it, dude? Like, those are their two best guys, Sauce and Garrett Wilson. They're supposed to lead the way.
Yeah.
And they weren't. Not to mention Breece and the Jets can't run it. Anyway, back to Aaron Glenn for a second. That's the first time he started to lose me. I don't think that's a game where, as the head coach, you should be clapping after your team just lost at the final buzzer there.
It's not high school, man. It's not college. You know, the last thing I'm going to do is try to suck the life out of that guy and the morale and the spirit, because one of the reasons that I really and still absolutely believe in Aaron Glenn is, number one, you know, his knowledge, his experience, who he worked with, Parcells, his playing career, how he climbed the coaching tree and the ranks, all those things we talked about. But, I mean, this is a man's man. This is a man with integrity and purpose and presence, right? So I'm going to bet on that stuff more than I'm not. And eventually, one quick sidestep. Yeah. What we can't do is, and he uses the term instant coffee. I'll use microwave. It's the same thing. Even though they're 0-3, and it's a bad look optically, Clapping, I'm with you on that, right? And they looked horrible again yesterday for 90%. They were awful for 90% of the game. Horrible, 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 right? No excuses, horrible. But I do think that we have to understand that year one for any coach that's coming into a bad situation, yes, it's about trying to get them to eventually win, but really the first thing you got to do is you got to get rid of the guys who just don't fit what you try to do.
Right.
And there's a feeling out
there.
It takes a while, so let's not lose sight of the perspective. I know we're not. But to me, the most disappointing thing from yesterday is, number one, the Jets' pass protection was awful. I mean, again, talk about Tyrod Taylor sticking his beak in there and getting popped basically every play. They had 27 quarterback pressures. They had 4 sacks. I mean, and the Jets' whole line has a bunch of first-round picks on it. And I know Todd Bowles is a good defensive coach. The pass protection was horrendous. Again, 19 missed tackles. There was a swing pass to Bucky Irvin that went for 30 yards where 7 Jets missed him. The defense did nothing against a patchwork offensive line, which to me is the most disappointing aspect of what transpired. And, you know, it's too early to start giving out grades on Muji here, but they are embarrassingly thin at the second, third, and fourth wide receiver spot. Like, the Jets receivers outside of Garrett Wilson, it's expansion level, dude. It's that bad.
Yeah, okay, but to me, that's like something that he's going to have to address in the offseason and maybe year two. I would focus on Glenn and the, I don't want to say mixed messaging, but do you think Aaron Glenn was legitimately happy with when that game went final last night or yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, there's no way he's happy. Okay. I mean, he's a winner, so he's not happy with the loss.
Me neither. So what I think is going on here, remember the negative cloud that we talked about on Friday hovering toward Aaron Glenn? He's starting to feel it with the media, with the fan base, and that pressure a little bit. And then in a spot where authentically Aaron Glenn should be rightfully annoyed with the sloppy way that his team played the majority of that game and, of course, the way that it ended, he was trying to compensate for that, not letting that negative narrative seep in and saying, hey, we fought back. This is not the same old. No, no. He didn't say that after week one. They played much better in week one. What did he say after week
one?
No moral
victories, right?
So then why is he clapping as they just got beat at the final buzzer yesterday?
Well, let me ask you a question here. So we talk about the changing of a culture. God, and it's been so elusive for both of these football teams, right? But in his mind, like, the way you change the culture eventually is to start cranking out some wins and right. Have some belief, right? But before you get the wins, how do you change the culture? Maybe, and we'll see if it's effective. And again, it's not a great look at the pro level, but maybe in his mind he's saying, all right, I've got to fixate on something positive, and that's the comeback, and I could use this as a little building chip right. To facilitate the acceleration of the building of the culture, even if we might not like him clapping. Yeah. In his mind, what's the other thing? Resignation? How we lost, we're 0-3, and just have this morbid handshake and just take it on the chin and go in there. Like, I don't know what the other option is.
Be consistent. And you can say, look, we played like dog crap the majority of that game, but I'm proud of the way the guys fought back and didn't just let go of the rope. They fought back. Unfortunately, we got to make a defensive stop there. No, instead it was, we're not the same old Jets. Like, he's fighting off that narrative. He's clapping on the side, you know, on the middle of the field. Like, it's all right, it's all right. No, like that, to me, if you watch that entire game, that was not an effort to be proud of. Where I would give them the benefit of the doubt in week one, I thought that was an effort to be proud of. No moral victories. But, like, even if the Jets won that game yesterday, my take would have been, dude, like, that was a horrible, horrible display of football. But at least they got the win. Like, you're not going to apologize for any win. It's
yeah, well, and Sal, think about it. If they would have gotten the win, they would have had a defensive stop at the end as well. So that would have, you know, you would have had the block punt, Will McDonald, yeah, right. House it, then you get a stop to win it if they would have won. And then you could at least, we could at least come on the air and say, well, all right, there's one win. Now you got Miami, who's basically in a body bag, whose coach is going to get fired soon, coming up, you know, Monday Night Football. So maybe the Jets have a chance to get to 2-2. And unlike the Giants, the Jets' schedule does soften. You're going to play the Bengals without Burrow. You're going to play the Pats a couple times. You're going to play Miami. You know, like, there are wins to be had here. But when you're 0-3, nobody wants to hear it. You're 0-3.
The number one thing that Aaron Glenn cannot do under any circumstance is let any of that negative feel, the history, seep into his thought process. And I think it's already started to in week three.
I think it's the opposite. I think by the fact that he's trying to so proactively and publicly address it and embrace it tells me that he's not feeding into it. Now, if it works, I don't know.
But he shouldn't even be acknowledging it.
Well, that's different.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. He's already let that seep in, that negative aura and the same old Jets and, you know, like the negative feel that we've had here now at 0-3, but even with 0-2, that should not enter his thought process. He's got a job to do in rebuilding this thing. It takes a while. People will understand that. And regardless of who's riding what or who's saying what, stick to what you believe in and stick to your plan. And the way that, to me, he handled the post-game press conference and the way that he was clapping, that's where I thought that maybe he let that seep in. Now, with the celebration that he did, I had no issue with that myself. He's caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
Guy makes a great play. They miraculously just tied the game and are about to take the lead here. I did not have a problem. This is a new age. It's not Bill Parcells. It's Aaron Glenn, but it's in 2025. Like, yeah, he's a Parcells disciple, and Bill wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, well, Bill couldn't move much.
Right. Other coaches do that. McVay does, like, all...
Robert Saleh did it the night that Rodgers got hurt. Remember when Gibson returned to the house against the Bills? He ran on the field. He jumped in a pile.
I mean, that's not the example that I want to use. Saying. Robert Saleh, but that to me is... I have no issue with Aaron Glenn celebrating the way that he did on the field.
All right, the day that I tried to, you know, just hold down enthusiasm and passion is the day that I'm just a joyless, miserable person. And that I hope I never become that person. I'm kind of with you. Now, I wanted to let it marinate for a little bit because I jump on and do the podcast, which, by the way, is there a dumber endeavor than to actually do a Jets podcast after every game? Honestly, I may as well sit there and stick needles in my eyeballs and call it the needle in the eyeball podcast instead of there's nothing more depressing than doing that. I'm sitting there on my couch just waiting for the game to end, knowing I've got to do a podcast and instant it really is miserable, but I did want to let this soak in a little bit because the reaction in real time of, like, I was fired up along there with him. I was, like every Jet fan. Now that I've had a full day to process it, I don't have a massive issue with it. Like you, I don't. But Sal, we're not the head coach. You know, you've got to understand that I'm going to give him a pass. I'm not burying him on this, but there's a minute and 43 seconds to go. Tampa's got a couple timeouts. They just need a field goal. Like, there's, you know, you can't be that lost in the moment, even though you're incredibly enthusiastic. You got to be the CEO. Now, he's going to grow into that, and I'm going to give him some latitude to do that. I love the fire, but I prefer a little bit more balance in that moment.
Yeah, the timing of it to me is what I would have an issue. I don't have an issue with him showing emotion or going nuts after a huge play like that. The fact that he celebrated as if it was going to mean a win is where I would have an issue with that. At that particular point, you just tied the game. So I like that emotion. I like him being excited. The timing of it, where obviously the Jets didn't have the win. They didn't even have the lead at that particular point. That could be where you have a little bit of an issue. 888-808-1019. Mike is on West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't even understand why they gave Ahmad Gardner, I'm not even calling him Sauce anymore, all that money. Last year he was terrible. I mean, we could say how bad he is. The other teams are picking on him. It's not like Darrelle Revis is on the other side. I mean, even against Buffalo, after Josh Allen broke his nose, they bring Trubisky on 3rd and 10 and just pick on him and pick
first play.
20 yards.
First play.
3rd and 29. They just bomb it out to him. He commits a penalty. I mean, $30 million or whatever they gave this guy, I mean, it's mind-blowing. They should have made him wait. I said it in the offseason when they were talking about it. I just don't understand what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they're going to do with him is they're going to play him and they're going to pay him. That's what they're going to do, Mike. Thanks for the call. I mean, I understand he is highly overrated, and he cannot tackle. He never makes any disruptive plays. There's no pick sixes. There's nothing, really. I mean, yeah, he blankets some guys, but there's just not enough bang for the buck. It's incredibly disappointing. At least Garrett Wilson makes plays. Now, they decided to pay both of them. That's why I bring Garrett Wilson into the equation. But I get it. It was a tricky, delicate balance because when you have a good player, to not keep him around, that doesn't do much for the culture either. So they were in a rough spot, and I'm sure that Aaron Glenn looked at every single snap of Gardner's career and said, I could work with this kid. He is a stud. I just got to get him right. He's not right yet.
Yeah.
They just pick on him. He's right.
And I don't want to hear about Mike Evans, who's a physical specimen and a big-time receiver. Well, that's what number one corner is supposed to do. You're a great cornerback. You got to shut him down. And Sauce Gardner can't do that. And it's not just that. It's been years to me that Sauce, I don't care how many all pros he's gotten. I'm watching these games here. Sauce does not do nearly enough to me to be justified as an all pro or one of the best cornerbacks in the league. It's the same thing every freaking week, even if that wasn't necessarily a penalty, which I do think it was a tough call on him for that particular play.
You had a 15-minute sequence that I'll never forget. And I swear to God when I say this to you, when the New York Jets lost the way they did to Tampa, and when Jacob Young is climbing the fence and robbing Francisco Alvarez of a game-tying home run, I had a thought. I had a thought of running away. I had a thought of, I'm going to call the architect, our boss, and tell him, I'm done doing this. I don't want to come on the radio anymore. I was going to cancel all my subscriptions. I was going to cancel my season tickets, and I was going to become a history teacher. That was it. I was about to tell my wife, sorry, hon. I'm going to make a lot less money. I'm a baby. But I'm about to be a history teacher because I can't deal with this crap anymore. I can't deal with the constant pain, the constant neglect, and the constant new creative ways to lose. And let me make this perfectly clear to this head coach. And we'll listen to what he had to say. We'll analyze some of the things Aaron Glenn did yesterday. But let me just start off with a very simple comment. The Jets sucked yesterday.
Same old Jets.
They didn't play well. We were lucky due to weird circumstances that led to the Will McDonald block and return that even gave this team a chance to win. And they lost like the losers they are, stunning nobody.
Right.
Everybody knew with a minute 45 to go, you gave at Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers way too much time. So I accept that. I accept we're losers. I accept that it was a new painful creative way to lose. Do not tell me, do not spit in my eye and tell me it's raining. Don't tell me there's progress. What progress? They played like crap. Did you run the ball well? Did you throw the ball well? Did you defend anything well? Were you more disciplined? The answer's no to literally every answer.
Right.
They sucked yesterday. So don't tell me things are better. Don't tell me it's close. And don't tell me I don't believe in moral victories, but. Don't give me buts. So I was aggravated to no end because, A, the Mets are a bunch of gutless cowards who are going to miss the playoffs. And if you disagree with that, you're lying to yourself. Don't tell me after another new creative way to lose, well, we're making progress and we're not the same old Jets. I will make this perfectly clear to Aaron Glenn and anybody else. We are the same old Jets until you prove we're not.
Same old Jets.
Until you win. Until you make it obvious, until you make it clear you're not the same old Jets, you are the same old Jets until we tell you you're not. You work for us. Don't tell us we're not the same old Jets. I hope, Aaron, because I do believe in you, believe it or not. I do believe in Aaron Glenn. I hope that 3 weeks from now, you can go into one of these press conferences and say, I told you so, and you have every right to. But until you win a freaking game, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Is that not fair?
No, it's very fair because the Jets had every reason to bow out of this game. I'll give them credit because early on, or really three quarters of the way through, it was over.
They were getting blown out, Teak.
It wasn't even a possibility that this team would come back. But then they fought. And then they found ways. Now, part of it was because Todd Bowles was playing a little prevent defense. Let's just not give up big plays. Make them earn their yardage. And then if they're going to score, let them score on their own time. We trust in Baker to do whatever Baker needs to do to get us back in position to win this game. And that's ultimately what happened. They blocked that field goal attempt with 2 minutes to go in the game. And I didn't see this live. I was obviously preparing for the Giants game. But as I saw this happen in replay, the first thing that came to my mind, because I'm watching it clean. I know what the score was. I know that they lost, but I'm watching it clean, was, man, that's too much time. Because we saw this 2 weeks. We saw this last week.
Of course.
Todd Bowles allowed the opponent to score so that he could have the ball with 40-something seconds left and go down the field and Baker Mayfield get in position to kick a game-winning field goal. The exact thing happened.
The truth
and
is,
they
though,
took
Jake,
2 minutes off the clock, and you couldn't do a thing about it.
You're
as great as we want to think Sauce Gardner is, he got beat time after time after time.
The reality is this. There was a minute 40 to go. After the excitement of the McDonald return, which I had too. Like, I jumped out of my chair.
It's a great play.
It was an incredible play. It was a shocking play. The fact the Jets took the lead, stunning turn of events. Once you sit back down in your chair and you see a buck 41 to go, we all know there's too much time. But here's the reality about the New York Jet defense. 141 was too much time. I got news for you. 41 seconds would have been too much time. Yeah. 30 seconds would have been too much time. 20 seconds would have been too much time. Because on that final drive, on the first play, Baker Mayfield had an open receiver. He just missed him.
Yeah.
30 yards down the field. On the second play, he found Ogbuka for 30 yards. On the third play, he found Ogbuka again, but luckily, by the grace of God, he was slightly out of bounds. And on the fourth play, your boy, Sterling Shepard, went 25-plus yards. The defense had no shot.
Yeah.
The defense was Swiss cheese. So was a minute 40 too much time?
Yeah,
oh, sure it was. So would have 40 seconds. So would have 30 seconds. So would have 20 seconds. It all would have been too much time for this overrated defense. So I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I'm so sick and tired of, well, but this was good. That was good. The Giants are losers. The Jets are losers until they're not. And I hope we're sitting here one of these Mondays and we're happy and we're talking about them not being losers. But until otherwise, they're losers. That's what we watch every Sunday. And you know what that makes all of us? Even bigger losers. Because we pay the money, we invest the time, and we sit there week after week after week asking, how are you going to cause us pain this Sunday?
The Jets killed Carl.
I mean, I hate all of it. And the Mets, you're lucky. Because they're the biggest losers of them all. Sitting there blowing a wild card lead. So other than that, Tiki, how was your weekend?
Yeah, fantastic. I got my 10-mile run in.
That's great. I'm glad to hear.